Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We love having you. Welcome back to our ECEC group. I'm glad that they are back safe with us. And big thanks to Tony and to Clint, who took our group this year. It is a highlight of Macy's year, so I'm really, really thankful for these folks who make this trip possible. Glad that they had the time to spend thinking about some really good things, and of course, we're very glad that they made it back safe and sound, if not, but a little tired. I want to talk to you tonight about faith. I want to see faith. Well, see it in 3D, and James chapter 2 will be the passage that we will look to see this subject in a little bit more depth. So open your Bibles to James chapter 2, and we'll notice a very famous passage about faith. James chapter 2 is in many ways the faith chapter of the Bible. It talks to us the most about what's required to have a pleasing faith, the faith that God wants us all to have. And here's how we will look at it tonight. We will look at faith defined, faith demonstrated, and then faith demanded. Let's start with a good definition of what faith is. Sometimes it helps us in identifying something to know what it does not look like. In my house, I have about a bajillion bows, hair bows, that is. None of them are for me. And when my wife or whoever's in charge of getting the bow for Addie tells me to go get a bow, they will often say, "Now, it's not the one that's big. It's not the one that has the polka dots on it. It's not the one that's green." So they help narrow down which one I'm supposed to be looking for by telling me, you know, the things that it's not. And there's a bit of that going on in James chapter 2. When James talks to us about the faith that pleases God, he's going to talk to us a bit about what it's not. All right, so in James chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" So here's the problem. Here's the scenario that James has set up. Somebody says that he has faith, but he is missing the corresponding works. So his faith is in word only, I guess we could say. And then James's question is, can faith save him? And in this scenario that James is presenting, he's asking, can that faith without the works that he just mentioned save him? So somebody talks a good game about faith. Somebody talks about having a great faith, a deep faith, a healthy faith, a robust faith, a faith that pleases God. But there are no works. There are no works that go along with that. And you know these types. You know these types. Most of the people who talk very much about faith are these kind. I don't say that in a mean-spirited way. That's just kind of a matter-of-fact observation. And that's not necessarily my observation. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, when he talks to us about the two pathways that people are on. And most are on a wide, broad road that does not please the Lord. So most who talk about faith out there in the world, on Facebook, on Instagram and Twitter, most of the folks who talk about faith just do that. They talk about it. And James's question to us is, what good does that do? Now, James sets up further this scenario and really leads us to the answer in verses 15 and following. If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, here's somebody who is in clear need. Naked, destitute of daily food, doesn't have any clothes, doesn't have any food. And one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but that's where it stops, right? You say to this person who clearly is in need, "Hope you get better. Good luck with that. Depart in peace, be warmed and filled. You know, you can't speak food into somebody's belly. You can't speak warmth into somebody's cold house. And James says, you say those words, but you do not. One of the things we said we were doing is looking at what this faith is not. So James says, it is not words that are unmatched by actions. Here is an example of words unmatched by actions. You say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't do anything needful. You don't help out in any real tangible way. There's no there. These are just empty words. What good does it do? James asks concludingly, verse 17. What good does it do? What profit is it? Look at verse number 17, and here's the point that he's driving home. Faith by itself, if it does not have these works that correspond with it, is dead. Now, James will really get our attention with this imagery of a dead faith. But here we have it for the first time in our reading tonight. James 2, verse 17. James lets us know that a definition of faith is better have some works to go with it. You can't just talk a good game. You have to have some works that match that. And this faith cannot be alone. It can't be isolated from somebody's works. We jump down a little bit. We'll come back and fill in these verses, but we jump down to verse number 24, where James says, in a very pointed way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead being alone. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. Look at James chapter 2, verse 24. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. The kind of faith that James is telling us we need to have is more than just a thought in your head. I love this passage here, James 2, verse number 19. James 2, 19. James talks to us about believing in God. You believe that there is one God? Good job. Great. You should believe that God is real. But here's what James says. Even the demons believe in God. So the definition of faith that we need to get in our heads tonight is not a weak or anemic just kind of thought. It's not an empty word spoken that's not backed up. The definition of faith that we're seeing is it has to have some oomph to it. This faith needs to be robust. This faith needs to be healthy. This faith needs to be hungry. It needs to be the kind of thing that causes us to do things. Not just say things, but do things. And this faith needs to be life-changing, right? What makes us better than the demons? What makes us better than the demons? Well, they believe in God and tremble, James 2:19 says, but they don't do anything based on their faith. They have a faith in God, quote unquote, a faith, a kind of faith. They believe in God, the verse says, but it's not a saving faith. It's not a pleasing faith. It's not the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Look at James chapter 2, verse 22. James 2, 22. You see that faith was working together with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. That gives us a definition of faith. Faith needs to be matched with our works. The words that we say, the words that come out of our mouth, need to be echoed by the things that we do. You say that you believe in God with your words? Great! Now show us that with your actions. You say that you care about people? Great! Now show that. Show that by the works that you are going to do that correspond to that. You say that you want a great church? Wonderful. We all say that we want that, right? Now say that with your support and with your activity, with your involvement when it's all on the line. That's what James is challenging us to do, to make sure that what our lives say matches what our mouth says, because it's really, really easy to say one thing and do another. And James says, if you get that way with your faith, you're not pleasing God. Now, that verse we left off with, James 2:22, is talking to us about Abraham, and that brings us to the second D, faith demonstrated. James is going to show us demonstrations of faith. This is the kind of faith that pleases God. And he begins with none other than Abraham. Abraham was a heroic figure in the Jewish life. And these people who were former Jews, they had a high regard for Abraham. And so James is going to begin with one of their national heroes, and he's going to preach about believing in Jesus from Abraham. It's very, very brilliant. And James, being inspired by God, of course, he knows exactly what points to hit and what points to make to help these people see where he wants them to be. Abraham, look at him. Chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac on the altar? So, question. What was it that redounded to Abraham's benefit? What was it that blessed Abraham in God's eyes? Abraham wears this beloved title as a friend of God. Look at it in verse number 23. The scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Abraham wears this mantle, a believer in God, a friend of God. Well, you have to know and appreciate how Abraham got there. How did Abraham get this title of friend of God? How was Abraham designated someone who believes in God? James will tell you. He's happy to tell you. And James tells us that it happened because Abraham's faith was what was working simultaneously with his actions. Was Abraham so blessed before he had done these works? Or was Abraham blessed after he obeyed God? You see the way the verses line up here in chapter 2, James chapter 2, verses 21, 22. Abraham presents Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice to God, believing that's what God wanted him to do. And then immediately after planting that thought, that image in our minds, James says, do you see Abraham's faith? Faith is something that is verifiable. Faith is something that's observable. You don't keep a faith that pleases God secret from everybody else. You don't keep a faith that will get you to heaven off of your Facebook account or off of your Instagram account or your Twitter account. You don't have a faith that pleases God and keep it away from people. A faith that pleases God is observable. A faith that pleases God can't be missed, because a faith that pleases God isn't hidden. It's on display. And Abraham's faith was on display. And after, I want you to notice James's strategic point here, after Abraham did this, after Abraham worked, after, it is said that works made his faith perfect, verse 22. And then, when, after Abraham obeyed God. Then the scriptures fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God. Many years later, far removed from Abraham's life, we have this mutated view of belief that says belief is passive, you know. What I believe, I just kind of keep in my head here. And what I believe just kind of, you know, adds up to my inner dialogue. What I believe is just kind of, you know, passive. It doesn't really change my life or inform my actions. But that's not the way belief is in the Bible. Believing in God is something that is demonstrable. Believing in God is something that changes what you would otherwise do. Because Abraham believed in God, he did the hard work of offering his son Isaac on the altar. Because Abraham believed that's exactly what God wanted him to do. So belief is not something that's just kind of in my head and, you know, I'm kind of sort of attached to it, but not really. And if you believe something different than what I believe, well, that's no big deal. No, that's a new idea. That's not what the Bible says about believing in God. Believing in God is something that absolutely changes what we otherwise would do. You can go back in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. I love this passage here, and it strikes me every time when reading it that Abraham's faith is being put to a test here. And Abraham is spoken to by God, whom he answers here in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. God says to Abraham, "You take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and you offer him as a burnt offering." And then verse 3, Genesis 22, 3, Abraham rose early in the morning. I'm not very much of a morning person. I mean, you kind of have to be to live in this world, I guess. You know, you have to be functional at an early hour. But you know, that's not my natural pattern, I don't think. And Abraham here, on the day where he is told to wake up and take his son and sacrifice him, Abraham wakes up early in the morning. It's of interest, and it's certainly a beautiful thing to see Abraham eager to obey God, even when the command that Abraham has to follow is not a very pleasant one. Certainly Abraham did not want to do this thing. I mean, we're talking about his son, his only son, verse 2, the son whom he loves. Sacrificing this son is not something that Abraham would want to do, but he felt he needed to do it. And he felt that way because God said so. And we see Abraham's faith on display here. And after, not before, but after Abraham obeyed God, it is then said that he believed God, again, after his actions conjoined with his thoughts. Then it's said that Abraham believed God, James 2:23, and it's accounted to him for righteousness. And then after Abraham obeyed God, then it's said of him that he was called a friend of God. All of this after his faith was demonstrated. And that's a lesson to us. You know, that's a very powerful lesson to us. That our faith cannot be kept secret. Our faith can't be hidden from other people. Our faith, if it's a faith that pleases God, our faith needs to be on display. People need to see it. They need to know. And they know in the most meaningful way by the things that we do, right? They see the actions that we do, and they know what we believe. They know how we love the Lord. That is a demonstration of this faith that Abraham says is important, that James later says is important to please God. We close out tonight in James chapter 2 by looking at this faith is demanded. That's our third D tonight, demanded. This faith is demanded. We have to do this. It's not optional. James chapter 2, verse 19, a verse that we looked at a minute ago, lets us know that this kind of faith is demanded to make us better than the devils. This kind of faith is absolutely demanded so that we can be saved in what we believe and not be lost with an acknowledgement that God is real. James 2:26, look at it. James 2:26, this faith is demanded by God in order for our faith to be alive and saving. The body without the spirit is dead. We're ending where we started tonight with James talking to us about this very graphic illustration of death. And James says the body without the spirit is dead, okay? Faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead also. So we have a very, very resounding demand to have this kind of faith. This kind of faith is necessary to prevent vanity. Look at James 2, verse 20. James 2, 20. O foolish man, faith without works is dead. Again, James is really driving home the idea that our faith must be matched with what we do. It has to have this activity in order for God to be pleased and in order for us to be saved, which brings us to a very, very important part of all of our services, and that is when we offer you an opportunity to do something. Our worship service is conducted in a way that we believe God wants. From our careful reading and study of the Bible, we know what God wants in these worship services. And it's at this moment of our study and our look at God's Word and our look at our lives that we may feel that changes need to be made. Maybe our faith isn't as strong as it needs to be. That's very, very possible, you know. Maybe our faith hasn't even gotten off the ground yet. James chapter 2 talks to us about those who believe in a way that lacks obedience. Maybe that's where you're at this evening, and if so, we want to tell you what to do in order to match works with your faith. I believe that you believe in God. I believe that you want to be saved. That's pretty clear tonight by your being here. But as we've seen tonight from James chapter 2, there's so much more that goes into pleasing God than just that. If all we had to do was just kind of believe that God is real and he's a very powerful being, if that's all it took, well then the demons would be saved, James 2:19, because they believe in God. They tremble at the thought of God. But that's not all that needs to be done. We have to make sure that our actions back up this faith, that our actions are not just of our own creation. You know, we're not going to get together and, hey, what do you want to do to please God? I want to do this. What do you want to do to please God? And we come up with our own plan. No, that's not the way it works. Our actions that please God must come from Him. And so tonight, if you're interested in what God wants for your life, here it is. You believe. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's Word. You repent of those sins. You hear, you believe, you repent of those sins. Jesus lets us know that this repentance is is absolutely important for our salvation. Without repenting, we'll die in our sins, Luke 13:3 says. And then we confess faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We're baptized. Here's a step where many of our friends in the religious world differ. They don't think that baptism is all that important, but it is important. And it's not important because I say so. It's important because Jesus says so. Jesus in Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." We have to do that to please the Lord. And if you're ready tonight to do that, we're ready for you. As one who has already heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, we ask you tonight, we invite you and challenge you this evening, take a look at your faith. Take a look at your relationship with God. How's it doing? If you need to make changes, we would love to help out. We invite you not so that we can know something about you. That's not the point of this. We invite you so that we can help and sympathize and support and pray together. So tonight, if you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come now while we stand and sing, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.